Do you love that name, Jesus? Hallelujah. Let's worship him. Hallelujah.
The atmosphere is changing. Nothing stays the same. Heaven is waiting for the mention of the name. The Spirit is moving, burning like a flame, healing the broken by the one we proclaim. Raise it up, fill the sky. Chains will fall, mountains move, we lift him high. Speak the name, the name above all other names. Speak the name the wind and waves obey. All of heaven's coming down, fill the earth with the sound of the name. The name of Jesus.
Gather home.
Broken, I've been made free.
Jesus. We lift your name. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Let's all raise our hands to the Lord for just a moment. Let's just praise the Lord out loud with our voices. Let's just speak maybe in tongues for a moment. Let's just worship the Lord right now. Lord Jesus, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for visiting us on a Wednesday night in the middle of October, God. You know right where we are tonight, Lord Jesus. We ask you, God, whatever you want to do, Lord, whatever you want to do, God. Praise your name, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. You may be seated. We'd like to welcome everybody to Calvary Gospel Church this Wednesday night. This is our Bible study night, our midweek service. And we would especially like to welcome any of our guests who are visiting in person or in line. We have a connection card we'd like for you to have. And we'd like to just share some contact information and just meet and greet with you. If you're online, there's also a Bitly connection link that you can follow online and do the same thing. Or if you have your phone, you can just point your camera at that barcode and it will work as well. So we just thank you for being here, and we hope you come back. I'd like to also talk a little bit tonight about our giving options. If you're here in person, you can drop your offering in the kiosk in the back, obviously. We have had that out for about 2 years. It's been working well for us. You can also visit us at cgcmadison.org/giving. You can mail us your offerings, or you can use the new mobile app to download. You'd have to download the Church Center app, either with Apple or Android. If you have like one of those old Palm Pilots, it probably not going to work out for you. So we'd have to do something else for you guys if you're still running a Palm Pilot. So if you haven't been watching, we have some events coming up this Saturday. We have a very special paintball event with Take Aim. It's our CGC Connection group. So anybody interested in going and playing paintball, it's just a connection group. It's just for having some fun. The last time we went, I think we had 26 individuals, and I think that we had 8 visitors. So it was an awesome time of connection with people, friends and family might be interested. But Kirby Waters is in charge of that. You just have to call his number on the flyer or talk to him in person to get involved. That's happening this weekend. Everyone say Sunday, October 31st. That's going to be our Holy Ghost Sunday, and Sister Vernon will be speaking both sessions, the 10 a.m. and the 11 a.m. session. So we're expecting a great move of God that Sunday. We're asking everyone to take a special time over the course of the next couple of weeks and invite friends and family, neighbors, co-workers, people you go to school with, to come with you to this Holy Ghost Crusade, Holy Ghost Sunday, and we're expecting a great move of God. We also would like to remind everybody during this time that you would be watchful of the calendar for the prayer and fasting that we've all agreed to. I wasn't here that Sunday, but I watched online. Brother Aaron Wright preached an amazing message to us as a church, and we want to just finish that calendar strong. If you're wondering what you signed up for or how it got moved around, the calendar is posted out by the kitchen door, okay? So just outside in the foyer over by the kitchen on the bulletin board, you can find that. Also, I'd like to thank our sign language team for doing such an amazing job tonight. Jennifer is always faithfully here and faithfully waving her hands. I don't know what she's doing most of the time, but she also did something that I'm not very happy about, and so I'd like to call her out tonight. Would you like to just stand up and come up here for a moment? I'm not joking. All the way up here. Jennifer won the $5 gift card for putting her profile picture on the new Church Center app. And so I'd like to give her that. I'm not happy about this, but it couldn't go to a better person besides maybe myself, but that's okay. So we just are excited for our new Church Center app. If you haven't downloaded, who's all downloaded the new app and has been using that? It's been an awesome. I walked in on Sunday morning. I was able to sign my daughter into Sunday school before I got here. I had a little barcode. I just swiped it under the scan thing, and she walked in. And I didn't have my little sticker with me at that moment because something happened and I totally forgot, left my daughter in there, so an usher had to bring her out later because the sticker wasn't stuck to me some random place like I normally had been doing. And so we just encourage everybody to go in and get connected, get involved, and you can see upcoming church-wide events and a number of other options and features that will be rolling out over the course of this year. Let's all stand again. We're just going to go to the Lord in prayer. I haven't had any prayer requests turned in tonight, but as you know, we had a prayer line here Sunday morning. It was an amazing time. I feel like many people got a blessing from God. Some people got healing. If you feel like that you've been touched or healed from that service, would you just raise your hand? Look at all of these hands in the air tonight. So this is, let's just continue on in that same vein. Wouldn't it be awesome that someone got healed every service at Calvary Gospel Church? Someone received the Holy Ghost at every service at Calvary Gospel Church. That's the way it ought to be. And I know that we're not far away from that. We just need to fire it up a little bit. Amen. And so let's just go to the Lord in prayer and pray that we all get fired up and excited for what God is doing amongst us. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for what you're doing. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you will touch all those who are receiving healing, God, even at this very hour, God, those that are sick in body, those that are struggling with the effects of COVID-19, those that have serious other issues going on, such as surgeries and other things like that. God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would just touch all of the family of God, and especially those that are here tonight, Lord Jesus, in faith, oh God, believing, God, that you can do anything tonight, Lord Jesus. We give you the stage tonight, Lord. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to just pour out your blessings upon your children tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. As I know there is peace within your presence, I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. Yes, I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is shout Jesus from the mountains.
and Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness of the revelry, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus, oh, shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus, sing, shout Jesus. Jesus, Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I grew up hearing the name of Jesus, but I didn't really understand it until I came to know him face to face, or in person, maybe is a better way to say it. I'm so glad that I know who Jesus is. And I know about that wonderful name. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews 4. I want to read verses 11 through 13. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Praise God. You may be seated. I want to speak this evening on the edge of the word. The edge of the word. Open your ears, for which of you will stop the vent of hearing when loud rumor speaks? I, from the Orient to the drooping West, making the wind my post horse, still unfold the axe commenced on this ball of earth. Upon my tongue's continual slanders ride, the which in every language I pronounce, stuffing the ears of men with false reports. Anybody recognize that? Anyone tell me where that's from? It's not as if I would be able to do that myself. I just want to see if there's anyone who's... What does it sound like to you? Anyone, give me the name of the author you think it might be. Shakespeare, of course. Sounds like Shakespeare. Yes, it's Shakespeare. It's from the history of King Henry IV, part 2. It's the introduction. But I wouldn't have been able to tell you that, and evidently, at least no one here was willing to admit that they knew that. William Shakespeare was born sometime probably in April of 1564 and died, according to history, in April. On the 23rd of 1616. That's a few years ago. If you didn't know it, he's an English playwright, poet, and actor. He has had one of the greatest influences, along with the King James Version, on the English language. A lot of the phrases and sayings that we have today come from Shakespeare's writing. But there's one thing that you may or may not be aware of. William Shakespeare is dead. Many of his works remain. As a matter of fact, there's some debate on whether or not William Shakespeare was an actual person. Some people believe that there were several playwrights who were using Shakespeare's name, that the real William Shakespeare was kind of a loser and didn't have even the wits and the ability to do what is claimed or what's given to his name, but whoever he is, or whoever it was that was using that name, they're all passed on. They're not here anymore. Kind of like Frank Dixon. Anybody know who Frank Dixon is? Come on. He's the author of the Hardy Boy books. But the fact is that that's not the name of the real author of the Hardy Boy books anyway. It was just people that were hired to write those stories. I was so disappointed as a young person when I found that out. And how about Carolyn Keene? Who knows who Carolyn Keene is? The Nancy Drew stories. And guess what?
there's not really a Carolyn Keene either. So that's one difference between Hebrews and Shakespeare. The real author of Hebrews is known. Now, all of the Bible scholars, their ears perked up, and they, oh, really? Some people think it's Paul. Some people think it's, who? Give me some of the names, Brother Jerry. Matthias, okay. That, obviously, that's his opinion. No? Matthias, oh, I've heard Luke. Some people think it might be Luke, and you get a... I just keep it simple and say it's Paul. But a lot of people have opinions about it because it's not listed anywhere there who wrote the book of Hebrews. But I know who the author is. The author is the living God. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And if you look closely at the New Testament, you'll see that Paul considered Peter's writings as scripture, and Peter considered Paul's writings as scripture, that they gave that kind of authority to their writing. I'm not sure if they included all of their writing or just those that ended up being in the canon. But the fact is that the New Testament apostles had the same authority, according to Ephesians, as the prophets of old. So whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, the early church recognized it as the Word of God. The real author of Hebrews is still alive. We know who it is. Shakespeare died in 1616, or thereabouts, depending on who it really was. But the God of the Bible is still alive. Praise God. And he's in this place. He's here right now. Paul said that in him we live and move and have our being. Hallelujah. That means you don't have to, that's not just talking about us. As a matter of fact, he was on Mars Hill. He was in Athens, Greece. He was talking to unbelievers. And he said, you may not even be aware of it, but you're walking around in God's world. And he's everywhere all the time. Amen. All right, here's another quiz. I'm trying to grow up and be like Brother Caskey. I'm giving you another quiz. Oh, that's not the one. That'd be too easy. Here we go. I give Pirup as my father's family name on the authority of his tombstone and my sister, Mrs. Jo Gargery, who married the blacksmith. As I never saw my father or my mother and never saw any likeness of either of them, for their days were long before the days of photographs, my first fancies regarding what they were like were unreasonably derived from their tombstones. The shape of the letters on my father's tombstone gave me an odd idea that he was a square, stout, dark man with curly black hair. Anyone want to tell me what that is? Great Expectations. Anybody know the author of Great Expectations? Charles Dickens. That's right. Charles John Huffman Dickens, born February 7th, 1812. We know he was a real person. Died on June 9th, 1870. He was a writer and a social critic. Created some of the world's best-known fictional characters and is regarded by many as the greatest novelist of the Victorian era. I like to listen to audiobooks. I read... I do most of my studying and reading of nonfiction with actual books, with pages and print and all that. If some of you don't know what that is, this is what it looks like. But I like to listen to fiction and narratives on Audible or audiobooks. I started listening to a book this week, and I'm about an hour and a half, 2 hours into it, and I realized it's one I've listened to before. See, there's something about, that's one of the reasons I like print, is because I can go back to it. It's I know where it is. I can put it in my hand. I can look at it. I know you can do that online too, but it's just like more attainable. Well, everybody, you know, if you didn't grow up with that, that may not mean much to you. But it's still just words on a page, words on a screen, words in your ear. And you have to somehow categorize it, remember it, place it in your memory, and take a hold of it. But when I read the Word of God, when I hear the Word of God, according to Hebrews 4, the Word of God is alive. That's what that word quick means. It means it's alive and powerful. Praise God. It lives. When we hear the Word of God, even when we read the Word of God, it is alive. It's active. That word can mean active. The word powerful means operative. It means it's doing something. It's doing a work. The Bible says that the Word of God will not return void, but will accomplish that wherewith it was sent, whatever it was sent to do, because it's a living thing. Praise God. I love to read, but there's something about the Word of God. When I'm teaching Bible studies, I almost always give my testimony of when Bishop Grant, then Pastor Grant, was teaching me a home Bible study, and I didn't know much about the Bible. I only knew that I wanted to learn about it because I'd heard so much about it. And about the third lesson in, maybe only the second, I can't remember how many lessons we'd had, I finally decided, well, I'm going to do my homework this time so that when he shows up, I at least know what we're talking about. And I got out that outline and I started reading the passages out of the Bible, flipping through it. And I'm sitting at the kitchen table of the person I was living in, this person's house. And suddenly I got this feeling that there was someone in the room. And I stopped reading and I looked up and I felt weird, like, wow. I started reading again and every time I went back to reading those Bible verses, it something was happening inside of me. And I began to realize that God was dealing with my heart. He was speaking to me every time I read that word. It's alive, it's powerful, it's operative, it's active. See, the words of the book of Hebrews, the word of God, is different. They're sharper than any two-edged sword. I have to read one more passage. I'll give you an easy one. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct the other way. In short, the period was so far like the present period that some of its noisiest authorities insisted on its being received for good or for evil in the superlative degree of comparison only. There we go, Tale of Two Cities. Who said that? Winner, winner, chicken dinner. No, I'm not going to buy you chicken dinner. I'm sorry. Charles Dickens, A Tale of Two Cities, one of the most famous opening. That's all one sentence, for one thing. It by all rules of writing, you're not supposed to have a sentence run on like that, but nonetheless, it's one of the most famous and most lauded opening sentences for a novel there is. still just words of men. Just a make-believe story. A powerful story. Awesome story. If, you know, you have to read the graphic novel, I suggest you do so. But the Word of God is much more powerful than any work of fiction. It works. It has an effect. I believe this is what the Bible teaches. I do not believe you can actually hear the Word of God without having an effect in your life. Now, it may have a negative effect. It may harden your heart. You may resist it. But it will affect you. It will change you. That's why the enemies of God are so set on destroying the validity, destroying the understanding of the Word of God. They don't want people to realize that it is in fact God's Word. Praise God. But here's something I want to consider. This passage, we're somewhat familiar with this passage, the Word of God being like a two-edged sword. Being alive, being powerful. But notice the context, starting in Hebrews 4, verse 4. He has spoken, speaking of God, in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter into my rest. That's God speaking about Israel. And the writer of Hebrews, whoever he is, says, therefore, it remains that some must enter it. That, speaking of the rest, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. So Israel did not enter into that rest. Verse 7, again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. The logic here is that here's David talking about the rest that God has promised. So if David's still saying that we have to enter into it, obviously even in the day of Joshua, when they entered the promised land, they had not yet received rest. There remains, therefore, verse 9, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. All right, so that's all of that talk about the rest of God with the historical background. That's what leads up to the passage where Paul says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. He's saying if you want to have rest in God, you have to have the Word of God. There's a lot of people who are eliminating the Scripture as a guide, as a testimony of God, and taking it as advice from God that they can take or leave. They're not accepting it as the Word of God, and as a result, calling themselves Christian, but somehow never finding the rest. Something about this time we're living in. All of the pressures that are coming our way, it's unbelievable. Just political and social and medical and financial. Just from every... I need rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary, all you who labor and are weary, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that all of the pressure goes away or all of our troubles vanish, but it means that there's a place in God. Pastor Claude is going through a transition in his job situation, and he said that normally, can I share your testimony, Pastor? He told me today that normally he likes to be in control of those kind of things. And when they start not working out, he gets all uptight. He said, but from the beginning, that when his job situation began to change, he had a peace. That God was working. And even when he went and pursued a certain job situation, he got a word from Sister Vernon. She said, you may want to reconsider because God wants me to tell you that this isn't going to work out. Well, thanks a lot. But it didn't work out. Just as she said. But then a better opportunity opened up. And he said, even when it didn't work out, I had peace. I had rest. Praise God. The Holy Ghost, according to this passage, what this is really talking about is entering into the rest of God. Look at verse 11. If we can throw that up. You'll get it before I do, I promise you that. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Praise God. We have rest in God's Holy Spirit. God does not want anyone to fall short of that rest, it says. Acts 2:38 tells us that that Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Now I know the majority of people in this room have been baptized and filled with God's Holy Spirit, but we still need to talk about this. One, because that's what the apostles talked about everywhere they went. Amen. In Acts 8, the Bible says they had miracles, they had healings, they had very evident working of God, and only they were baptized in Jesus' name, but the Bible says, but none of them had yet received the Holy Ghost. They repented, they believed, they were baptized. But then Peter and John went down and prayed for them, and Simon saw that they received the Holy Spirit. Well, okay, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on Acts chapter 10. Peter is sent by God to preach to the Gentile household of Cornelius. And while he's preaching, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost fell on them. And how did they know? The Bible says they began to speak in other tongues. They received the Holy Ghost. The other Jews that were with Peter said they received it the same way we did. And they said, well, great, they're saved. No, then Peter commanded them. He didn't say, it's a good idea. He didn't say, if you want to show your faith. He didn't say, if you think it will strengthen you. No, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's part of the deal. God wants us to enter into his rest. And the only way we can do that is through an understanding of his word. The edge of the word. Acts 8, 12 through 17. And this, I was just talking about Acts chapter 8. And it's here that they were, Philip preached the things concerning the kingdom of God. And they were baptized, both men and women. So it's not a one-time thing. And it's not just for one group of people. I've had discussions with people said, well, that was just the apostles on the day of Pentecost. No, it wasn't. It happened in Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. Over and over again. God wants us to be full. Everyone say full. Full of the Holy Ghost. Brother Kasky spoke about this not too long ago. It's not just a one-time thing. It's being full, walking in it, living in it. Praise God. Then Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Praise God. That's where rest is. That's where we find rest. Praise God. Now, the Roman sword was a two-edged sword. And my understanding is it was probably about 2 feet, 3 feet long. It wasn't the big sword like the knights that we see depicted. It wasn't a saber like they had in the days of, isn't that menacing, a guy walking around with an axe, isn't it? It wasn't a saber like they had in Civil War days. It was a short sword, and it was both sides had an edge to it. Now, this is not double-edged, as you can see. And there have been many weapons and even tools that have an edge on both sides. I did take this out to the garage and ran my stone and sharpened it a little bit before I came tonight. This is not a sword. What do we call this? Thank you. And I don't know much to do with an axe except chop at things. Yeah, wood, preferably wood. And you can hammer things with the backside. Not always the best way to use it, but you can do that. And I don't see Tim Knopp here tonight, but Tim's an expert with an axe. If you need firewood chopped, he's the guy to talk to. He knows how to do that really well. And then, of course, James Novak can put a real edge on your axe if you want. Right? But it's limited in what it can do. I mean, you can destroy things. You can chop things up. You can cut things down. You know, I've probably broken more axe handles than I have chopped down trees, but still. This, just one single edge of an axe, that's intimidating. That's an awesome thing. If I had put this up on your face, you'd feel nervous. That's a single edge. But the Bible says that the Word of God has a double-edged sword. Double-edged sword. Well, again, not a sword, but this is my first hunting knife. This is a buck knife. I can't remember who recommended that's what I get, but that's the first one I got, and it's got a little bit of an edge on it. I'm sure it's not professional grade, but it will cut, I promise. I shave the hair off your arm, you know, that kind of thing. I know it'll do that. And actually, one time, I broke the tip off cleaning out a deer. Got stuck in a bone. And of course, use more brawn than brains when you're cutting up a deer. So I broke the tip off. But this is a little more useful. I mean, you can do different things with a knife this size. I've used it to, here we go, ready for this? Gut a deer. But I've also used it to, along with several other knives, when I'm butchering a deer, separating the meat from the bone. And that's really what Hebrews 4 says, you're separating the joints and the marrow. That's actually how I broke the tip, trying to separate the joints. But it's still single-edged. And it's limited in purpose, but it helps me understand a little bit. I've been down inside of a once-living creature with this knife. And that's the image that the writer of Hebrews is giving us. It's saying that it's a two-edged sword. It's more useful than just a knife, and it gets down inside of us. And he said, down even to where you can't even use your knife anymore between the joints and the marrow and the soul and the spirit. The Word of God, the living Word. We can't do without it. You can't have eternal life without the eternal Word of God at work in you. The Roman short sword was part of a whole armor package that we read about in Ephesians 6:17. It's designed to work with all the other armor and all in every type of warfare. It was given to every foot soldier in the Roman army. And it would the book of Ephesians says that it's the sword of the Spirit. Praise God. So if you want to use the Word of God appropriately, you must have the Spirit of God. I can't imagine trying to live a Christian life without having repented from my sins, without having my sins washed away, and without God's Holy Spirit working in my life. I don't know how people can do it, how they can. Some people are probably better people than me. Praise God. But the Word of God, He reveals to us if we will get into His Word. I'm not just saying, you don't have to be a Bible scholar, but if the Word of God is part of our lives on a daily basis, it amazes me. When I have any kind of reading schedule in the Bible, and I go day after day after day, suddenly I realize that today, this morning, I read about this thing that I'm dealing with at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. This attitude I'm struggling with, God spoke to me from His Word this morning when I read it. It's alive. It's powerful. And it gets down to where we really are. Hallelujah. It pierces deep to the inner man. Oh, I'm so glad you can't see everything I think. I'm so glad you can't identify every attitude I have. I know some of you know some of my attitudes. But God does. And sometimes we need Him to show us. See, there's two edges. The short sword, the Roman soldier, it was designed to kill both ways, to wound both ways. The backswing was just as dangerous as the forehand. See, God's Word can kill with judgment. And that's what most people are aware of. Most people, when they hear about the Word of God, people who don't know Jesus, who don't know the Word, they think that God's just coming at them with an axe. They're only worried about one edge. And that's the edge of judgment. They think that's what we're all about, is judgment. But the other edge of God's Word is the surgeon's knife, the scalpel, which gets in and cuts out the abscess, separates the thing that's causing the harm, opens up the heart so God can do surgery in our spirit. And that's the Word that we need to become familiar with. And the way that happens is by the Spirit of God at work in us. Praise God. We have been given the Word of God. We have a tremendous tool. It's a sharp sword. And it's not meant for us to walk around and use the judgment edge on people, but to bring the ministering side of God's Word, the healing side, the surgeon's knife. Praise God. The determining factor for each of us is our response to the Word of God. How are we responding to God's Word? We can enter into the rest by allowing God to perform spiritual surgery through His Word. If you have never heard this before, maybe you're online, maybe you're a guest here tonight, I'm here to tell you that God knows everything. All about us. He understands. It's like an MRI, an X-ray, and a CAT scan all at once. He can see us from every perspective. He knows. Hebrews 4:12 says there's not anything that is hidden, or is it 13? Nothing is hidden, but everything is naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Praise God. He knows what's in our heart today, so we can either let him perform spiritual surgery through his word when he speaks to us about our shortcomings, about our sin, about our failures, or we can place ourselves on the side that judges. Paul said the people of Israel had a choice, and they chose instead to die in the desert rather than to enter into his rest. Let's stand. Praise God. Whenever I try to prepare for a message, I try to feel after God to find out what is it I should address. You know, is there a particular thing that you want addressed? Maybe even a particular behavior or attitude or whatever. That's more of a pastoral thing, so it doesn't happen that much to me anymore. But when I was pastor of Voces Unidas, I felt compelled to do that frequently because the church needed it. But here tonight, I didn't feel directed to do that because you know, and I know, what God is talking to us about. I know what I'm struggling with. I know what attitude I've come up against in the last few days. If you're online, you know, you have to consider that even though you're not in this place, God is looking down inside of you, and he wants the word to get down in there so that we can enter into his rest. So whatever it is that came into your mind, into your thoughts, when I started talking about the hidden things of the heart, the inner man, the things that no one else can see, you know what that is. God can, why do you think the word is at work right now? Because he wants it, but here's my question. Are you feeling rest when you think about that thing? Praise God. That was such a great testimony, Pastor, that all through this time, I was concerned. I was worried for you. But he said, I had peace. I was at rest in my spirit because I knew God was doing something. God gave him rest. Do you feel the rest? Do you feel the peace of God tonight? If not, mix the word that you've heard with faith. And you can enter into his rest before you leave this place. Whatever your need, I want to encourage you to step out from where you are, to come and lay it down before Jesus Christ. It doesn't have to be sin. It doesn't have to be anything wrong. It's just whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're dealing with in your life that you don't have the answer, there's rest in Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye that are weary, all you that labor and are heavy laden, Jesus said, and I'll give you rest. That's the word of God working in you. That's the Spirit of God using the word to minister to you. Yeah, you may have to put up with some pain. Maybe you have to apologize to someone or ask someone's forgiveness. Maybe you have to admit something or give something up or take something on. I don't know. But when you do, you'll feel that rest. So Romans 8 says, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. I want to be a son of God. I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to walk in his rest. Praise God.
Behold, Jehovah, seated on the throne. By the well that all the
Can we all lift our hands again? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to echo what Pastor Simmons said earlier about the Brother Wright and Brother Hanscom and how they have been speaking to us. This call to prayer and fasting is obviously in the will of God. I know it is for me. I trust it is for you. And then Brother Hanscom comes along and shares his testimony and his stories. I felt, and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but I felt very much that while Brother Hanscom was speaking, that God was calling people to missions, not only overseas, but to missions here in the United States. So if you felt that and you're wondering whether that was real, you need to talk to an elder, talk to your pastor, to talk to you if you're a child, if you're a young person, talk to your parents, and let God talk to the person that God has placed over you in authority, but don't let that thing go by the wayside if you feel like God spoke to you. Everyone said amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. And I also want to say that the prayer line was awesome, and I was blessed by it, and I hope you were too. But I had a really bad knee, and it's been a concern of mine because I've already had a partial knee replacement in one knee, and Brother Neeson knows what that's all about. And it's been bothering me to the point where I wake up in the middle of the night having to reposition things. And I asked Pastor Simmons to pray for me after the prayer line was done. And I thought, well, here I am, I'm in this prayer line, and I've got this bad knee, and nobody prayed for me. So I went and asked Brother Simmons to pray for me. And since that time, it has been getting progressively better. I haven't been waking up at night. It's my left knee. It's on the side of the bed that I get out on. And the first thing I do in the morning is swing my knee over the side of the bed. And you can hear me groaning all the way through the house. But that hasn't happened in the last couple of days. So I'm trusting God it's going to be healed all the way. But I have way more freedom of movement than I had Sunday morning when I came to church. So I want to give God glory for that. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Remember to keep Pastor Roy in prayer. Keep Brother Tom Nelson in prayer. There are many others that need prayer. Phil Wiest is still in the hospital. He's breathing on his own. There are some positive things that are taking place, but he is really busted up by this automobile encounter that he had. I can't imagine all the things that he has to have fixed, so keep him in prayer as well. Praise God. God is faithful. His word is true. And his spirit is with us, and he wants us to be submitted to it so that he can do the things that he wants to do. In Jesus' name, God bless you.